thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate the opportunity, Austin.
There is not a lot of snow up there in the San Juan Mountains right now.
What
does that mean for the water year?
Well, we don't know yet. I mean, we're off to a very slow start. I mean, all you have to do is look and see. Essentially, we've got about 130,000 acre feet in storage right now. We need about 260,000. So we got about half the water we need. We need to bring another 130,000 acre feet down in the form of snowpack and runoff. So that's kind of where we sit now.
So we're about half capacity, right?
In other words, we've got about half of the water in storage that it's going to take to meet all our allocations next year. We need to get the other half out of the snowpack. So, and as water managers, we know that Mother Nature is driving this. And so we always look for analogous years. The only year that looks this poor on January 1st was 1990. And so I went back and looked at the record, and in 1990, it started storming, late January through February, and by the middle of March, instead of being 20% of average where we sit today and where they sat in 1990, they were at about 55% of average, and that gave them the full supply. So if we have an analogous winter to 1990 where we do start to get some snow and it looks like the high pressure is starting to break up, then we could have a good finish to the snowpack and at least meet our allocations.
So it sounds like you're saying there's at least still some kind of hope.
Yeah, there's hope of meeting our allocations.
It's happened before. Okay.
And if we meet those allocations, we're going to feel the effects probably in 2019 because we're going to have less water to carry over.
Okay. So that'll make it a dry summer, but there will still be some water. But then in 2019, the pressure will be on to have more water.
Right, and that's kind of the other drought periods we've had, 2002 and 2013, were years where we had poor snowpack and poor carryover. Right now, we have good carryover and poor snowpack. So that's the kind of the contrast there.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit more about what this year may look like in a moment. But first, let's talk a little bit about how you forecast these. DWCD tends, you guys look at a lot of past data, right, to predict the long-range forecasts. You look back and see what years look similar to this year.
Right.
Based on how things are now, how well does that work to look back at the past data?
Well, it doesn't guarantee you anything. I mean, you're trying to see how things have played out in the past, what to look for, because you're always trying to stay as much ahead of understanding how the water year is going to play out as possible. Because if we were headed into shortage, then that triggers a whole nother set of actions on our part to be prepared and to be able to manage through a shortage year.
What other methods of forecasting do you use?
Well, we use the Colorado River Forecast Center. I mean, that's the source of our formal forecasting. We are watching five snowtails up there, so that's how we try to evaluate the snowpack at different locations in our watershed, but then the forecast center is combining that with modeling, which takes into account all this history. And so that's where we go for our forecast. But the problem is we know where we are today, but in terms of being able to predict what the weather is going to do, we can see out about 10 or 15 days. Those 10 or 15 day outlooks have been very poor. I've been watching them closely, all winter so far.
Yeah.
But it looks like for example, the high is going to break up and we may get some precip next weekend. We would love to get a pattern going where we've got, we've got a lot of clouds and weather fronts coming through here. For one thing, we are active participants in the cloud seeding program, and we will make sure those clouds are seeded and we draw every bit of moisture we can out of them as they come across. So we're really hoping for a front to start to set up in here that will start to generate consistent storms.
Let's talk just for a moment about that cloud seeding. I didn't know you guys were involved in that. What does that mean? What is cloud seeding?
Well, we participate in two cloud seeding programs. It really involves either throwing silver iodide up into the clouds that brings the moisture down. Under warmer conditions, such as ski areas that want to get started in November, there's also propane. There's sort of two different approaches to cloud seeding. And we've been very active. Our engineer, Ken Curtis, we have a grant through the roundtable, and are really looking at how to modernize our cloud seeding programs based on what's been learned through all the research about where you position your cloud seeding units, what kind of units you use, when you turn them off and on. So we're just actively trying to make the most of the cloud seeding programs that we participate in.
So correct me if I'm wrong there, but that cloud seeding means you are putting particles in the atmosphere so water can condense onto them?
Yes, that's okay. Right.
So that gives a greater chance for more clouds and the clouds to actually maybe drop some kind of precipitation.
Yeah, I mean, the research indicates that you could pick up 5 to 15% from a cloud seeded storm in additional moisture. And particularly in a situation like this, if we have the opportunity, that 5 to 15% is really important to us.
Mm-hmm. So with the climate changing here, some scientists are predicting a swing to maybe more extreme shifts in the future throughout the country. You know, a feast or famine type thing, one year where you have too much water and then another year where you have too little water. Knowing that these are in a lot of ways hard to predict very precisely, what is DWCD doing to plan for potential shifts like that?
You know, about all we can do is, you know, try to deal with the conditions that we're confronted with year by year. And then we have several proactive things that are in play. One is we've just completed a drought plan aimed at on-farm efficiency, irrigation system efficiency, and then kind of operational measures that we can take under drought circumstances. So, I mean, this is not only, I mean, our objective is to keep as much carryover in McPhee as possible, and then when we do have drought conditions, the more efficient our delivery systems and our farmers are, the better they'll be able to weather the drought. So that's one major effort. And then the other thing that we're working on long-term is forest health. I mean, we've got, you know, conditions are very dry in the forest. Pine beetles are on the march. And we've got, you know, so we've got a lot of die-off going on as we speak in the ponderosa pine. So we're really trying to protect McPhee Reservoir from wildfire damage, but also to the extent that we can improve watershed health, we'll get better flows into the river. And everybody that relies on water, the fishes and everybody else, will be happier and healthier. So that's the, you know, two of the long range. In addition to the cloud seeding, we're really, you know, we've done drought planning, and then we're really actively engaged in these forest health efforts.
Sure. Okay. So does it look like this year DWCD will have to move into the drought contingency plan?
It's doubtful. In other words, we're always dealing, you were asking before about, you know, we're always dealing in probabilities. That's why we look to the past. So the probability is that we're going to, that we will make our allocations this year. If we don't, then we're prepared to act on that. But even if we do make our allocations and we don't get a big snowpack, then 19 it could be a problem year. Again, depending, you know, if we start with low carryover and have a poor snowpack in 19, then we really would be under drought and shortage conditions.
Okay. So speaking of drought, when droughts come, when there's not a lot of water, tempers tend to get hotter in general. People get worried, people get nervous.
Right.
How do you best manage those?
You know, what we found in 2013, and it was a terrible year. We had a 30% supply. Our farmers suffered, the fish suffered, everybody suffered, and communication was the key. I mean, and that's why we were very meticulous about pulling together all the facts that we can command, and then opening up dialogue and communication with our farmers and all the other interests that rely on, you know, on McPhee for water supply. So really, open communication and good factual information, those two things together are our best tools in confronting drought or any of our other issues.
Mike Preston is General Manager for the Dolores Water Conservancy District. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you, Austin. Appreciate it.